Dad used to be a detective for a while after the accident. He was convinced he could find Mum's killer. Part of Dad seemed angry that Max had found him rather than the other way around.
Without giving too much away, obviously, what is Burning Kiss about?
Essentially, it is a father and a daughter who live quite an isolated existence in the wake of the daughter's mother, the father's wife dying 6 years earlier in a kind of a hit-and-run accident. And then one day, someone shows up claiming to have been the driver of the hit-and-run car, sort of seeking, I guess, forgiveness or what have you. And rather than forgive the man, the father concocts an unusual plan and things get very unusual from there on. So it's kind of, I guess, in the tradition of like a sort of a Southern Gothic or something along those lines, where it's got this kind of psychodrama structure, kind of a core sort of disruption to a family structure. And then things get really unusual from then on.
You say it's unusual. Burning Kiss definitely wasn't what I expected. Now, why did you choose to go in that creative direction?
I mean, thinking back, it was probably a lot to do with just trying to do something different. I think a lot of Australian films have a tendency to treat crime material and that kind of narrative in a very specific way, a kind of a realistic way, gritty kind of approach. And I thought that it would be fun to sort of really take it as far as I could in the other direction, do basically a pop art movie, something that's incredibly colourful and expressionistic and just way over the edge, almost probably more aligned with an underground film like the Kuchar Brothers or Kenneth Anger or something like that, rather than a straight up gritty crime story.
To me, the film had a very David Lynch feel to it. Is that one of your major influences in your writing and directing style?
Yeah, I mean, when David Lynch is at his best, it's unbeatable. He's created this incredible language that's very, very unique. And the film was, I guess, lined up with what people call neo-noir. And I think he's probably one of the most influential directors in that area, definitely in the latter half of the 20th century. And his contribution to that genre is so irresistible. It's just predicated on atmosphere and mood and dreams, and it's just absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a Lynchian influence in the film. It's kind of hard not to, in a way, once you start going down that terrain, it's just very tempting to sort of follow in some of those footsteps.
And are there any other filmmakers that particularly influential to you?
For this film, there was a lot. There was, as I said, Kenneth Anger was a big one. The very, very sort of maligned director that I very much love called Ken Russell from the UK. He was a big influence, especially the way he used visual effects. He has a very kind of unusual approach to that. Claude Chabrol, who's a French thriller guy, he was a big influence. There was a lot, certainly a lot of sort of 60s Euro directors and their approach to genre. I really wanted to sort of play around with form in terms of editing and things like that, which isn't really in fashion at the moment. It's not something that people are trying to do, which is sort of mess around with editing and stuff. So I thought it'd be really fun just to sort of go back and explore some of those ideas in terms of messing with film form.
Sure. Was there a particular film that you saw that you thought, that's the sort of film I want to do, or I want to make a movie just like that?
Not necessarily. I think it was kind of, there was a bunch of films that were really inspiring or even moments in films. There's an old film called Lady in a Cage, which I really love, and the first couple of minutes of that, it has this really extraordinary title sequence, which is kind of like Saul Bass meets Ouija, the New York photographer. So I really liked that approach. It has a kind of dangerous summer kind of vibe to it, which I thought was really great. Sexy Beasts, the Jonathan Glazer film, I think is amazing, and that was definitely an influence. And there was an old Italian film called Investigation of a Citizen Above Suspicion, which sort of has a reverse engineered plot structure, which I really liked and sort of built that into this film. So, yeah, there's a lot of films. It sort of wasn't particularly one that was the guiding light for the whole project.
Now, this is definitely not a traditional sort of crime drama. Would you agree that some viewers may find this film a little bit challenging?
Probably. I mean, it's hard to say, and people have different reactions to films all the time, and you can't really worry too much about how people are going to perceive something. That being said, hopefully there's an enjoyable element to the visuals and the approach to it. And I mean, ultimately, I find the film personally quite playful in its approach to the form of film, and you can only hope that people are prepared to come along for the journey.
Fair enough. Now, look, is it difficult to get a film like this, given it's, acid noir, as that's one of the descriptors of it. Is it difficult to get a film like this made? I mean, would funding bodies perhaps have been more likely to pay up for a more conventional crime drama?
Yes. It was incredibly challenging. I mean, it was completely independently made, and the whole journey with finance and things like that was very much a struggle. And it can make the post-production or even the production timelines get much bigger than they would if you went through the sort of conventional approach. But that being said, it doesn't mean it's not worth it. You know, I was obviously inspired to do something that was unusual, and it is hard. It definitely is difficult. If you do something that's a little left of center, it can be very challenging. It's not easy, that's for sure.
Now, was the scale of the film at all limited by the budget, or did you manage to get every aspect of the story that you wanted to tell on the screen?
It was limited by the budget. That being said, budget and restrictions can be wonderful triggers for imagination, and sometimes solutions can be found within budgetary restrictions that are actually stronger than the original idea. I'd guarantee anyone's favorite film would have incredible restrictions that happened along the way that they probably aren't aware of, that have contributed maybe to some of the more memorable parts of the movie. So restrictions are part of filmmaking. That's literally what it is. It's problem solving. You show up on set and 10 million things go wrong, and you have to figure out how to make sense of it and how to keep moving forward. So those problems exist on big budget films, on independent films. They've been around since the silent days. So that's really ultimately what filmmaking is problem solving.
This was your first full-length feature film as a director. Looking back on it now, is there anything that you would have done differently?
Yeah, there would have been. Definitely. But that being said, you know, you have to just accept that there's certain creative impulses that you have, and it's great to see something all the way through. This film is unusual. It was always unusual. It was difficult to make, but there was a creative drive that I wanted to achieve. And yeah, I'm really happy that the film got all the way through and got finished, and is quite an unusual contribution, I think, to, I guess, Australian crime films.
Now, do you have a particular favourite scene in the film where, looking back on it, you think, yeah, the actors just really nailed it and everything went exactly as you'd envisaged it in your mind when you were writing it?
There was a couple, yeah. I mean, interestingly, there's one that's just very simple in contrast to the, I guess, madness that's happening in the film in terms of the expressionistic design and the colours and things like that. But there's a scene just where the character of Charlotte's walking at night. It's in a sort of a flashback moment, and she's going to meet up with someone. And there's something about the mood that's happening at nighttime. She's walking by the beach and it's nighttime, and there's something kind of, for me, quite cinematic about that moment. You kind of worry about her and you're kind of intrigued by what's going to happen. And there's some sort of element there that was like so easy to get, but at the same time, for me, quite interesting. It was something that's so simple. So that's the kind of learning experiences, I guess, you get from making an independent film.
Okay. Now, pre-COVID-19, films got screened in cinemas, but your film has gone to digital. Would you have liked the opportunity, your film, to have screened in cinemas?
Yeah, that would have been fantastic. And I was gearing up for it to do a kind of a roadshow with a Q&A with the film at different screenings, but it's the same all over the world. It's the entire film industry's stopped. So you just accept that's the reality of life at the moment. And I'm really excited that it's coming straight out on digital, and there's all kinds of new opportunities that come out from that. So yeah, you just try and stay positive.
Sure. And as a filmmaker, what are you doing at the moment?
Prepping another one, actually. So hopefully when everything returns to normal, whatever that is, hopefully I can move forward with another project, which is a much more just straight ahead, I guess, kind of horror film, actually. So pretty excited about that one. Hopefully that gets going soon.